Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll be reading Psalms 63, verses 1 through 8. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you, in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods, with singing lips, and my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me.
Well, we've reached that part of our service where we have a service set aside just for our young ones. So if you're ages 3 through the 3rd grade, you'll come over to the right-hand side. We have your teachers waiting to have a class just for you. I'm gonna sing, sing, sing. I'm gonna shout, shout, shout. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord when heaven's gates are open wide. I'm gonna sit by Jesus' side. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord.
Just a second here. It has been a year and a half since I have spoken before you, so I am quite excited this morning. So, this has been a very stressful week, and I can't think of a better week to come into this scripture in which I am thinking about longing for God. It has been quite a nutty week for me at work, and so I come a little bit on the stress side from work, and so I ask that you will bear with me as I share. So we were just... Keyshawn just read the scripture for us. It was quite a moving scripture, right? What a beautiful psalm. Here is this man in the wilderness who, for whatever reason, right, he's been fleeing from Absalom, or he's fleeing from Saul, or maybe any other number of experiences in the wilderness. Here's this man who looks around at his wilderness and says, "Man, I am just in love with God. Oh, He satisfies me, and it's just amazing." Right? And we often, to be honest with you, anytime that I hear this scripture read, most of the time, it's with an exuberant voice. After, of course, the first three phrases of the scripture. But it's very exuberant. And unfortunately, maybe you're like me, and you're just like, I can't relate to that. I can relate to the wilderness part in the first three phrases. But I can't relate to the David profession of faith. God, I praise you. I bless you with my lips. And I'm in the middle of the wilderness. I have a hard time relating to that. I find it very, very difficult. I almost find it a little guilty that... In the midst of my wilderness, I really don't want to praise God. Right? But here's David. Here's this hero who I'm supposed to live up to. And unfortunately, that's how I feel when I hear it being read, and probably how you feel as well. But I think there's more to this psalm than just that. I think it is very interesting that from the very beginning of the psalm, we have this profession of longing, right? We have this great profession of longing in the midst of this wilderness, right? And then you have this almost tearful profession. It doesn't seem to be an exuberant profession, from David, almost tearful. I think we relate so much to everything in this. I really believe, church, that David's message here is so full of tears and desperation, it has to change how we read even his praise. I think, first of all, we relate to his longing. Earnestly, God, I seek you. I thirst for you. I long for you. This wilderness is pretty crappy. This life really sucks right now. I am thirsting for you. I want drops of water in a place that has nothing. David knows pain. David knows suffering. David knows all of these things, right? He knows longing. Whether you come in a wilderness today, or you have been in a wilderness, you know that longing. You know, God, I seek you, I thirst for you, I long for you. And you know what? Even after his professions, even at the end of the psalm, we have David saying, my soul clings to you. So even after his praise, he finds himself still desperately scared and lonely, clinging to the only thing that is left. The only thing. We ourselves in this church come with a lot of longing. We come with a lot. I'm going to skip ahead here. We come with a lot of hurt and a lot of wilderness. Many of you have lost a parent in tragedy. Many of you have been flooded out of Hurricane Harvey, right? We all saw these images, right? And actually, these images still exist. Many of you have known people or still know people who are not back in their place yet, who are still rebuilding. Many of you know people who are displaced and are here because of displacement. That's a lonely wilderness. Many of you are grieving, and you're finding that you're longing for God because you're still grieving and everyone else has moved on. That's a really terrible feeling. Right. Before I go there, many of you come with chronic illnesses, right? Diseases that seem to wither you away. And you long, and you hurt. And unfortunately, all that you find is a pretty bleak future as you get farther and farther and farther from the family and the friends you know. Right? It's very debilitating. Many of you have gone through job searches or are going through job searches, and that lonely wilderness is hard. Right? These three phrases to start. Earnestly, God, I seek you. My soul faints for you. Right? This kind of thing is what you know. I know it at the hospital. This is Will and Natalie, Nathaniel in the middle, and there are two twins, Joel and Seth. This was a very happy family until 2 Octobers ago. When both of these twin boys were diagnosed with cancer, 2 weeks apart from each other. They know wilderness longing. They know it and they live it every day. Just like you do, right? I see it. And theirs is the lonely wilderness, isolated from people visiting, their children isolated from all the things that they hold dear. Joel has passed away, or Seth has passed away, and Joel is in the hospital right now in limbo. This is Max. Max is the kid I shared about who, September or so, he has the dance parties that are pretty crazy. Max has three forms of cancer. He fights through them every day. Right? His parents know a lonely wilderness. Right? Why would I even bother showing you these kinds of pictures? Right? It's because when we often get into the midst of our wilderness, we often think that our wilderness is the worst thing that has ever happened. Right? And you know what's profound? Is people at the hospital often tell me things like, it could be worse. I've heard Will Decker tell me in the midst of his child dying, it could be worse. And I think, I don't know about that. Our wildernesses feel pretty overwhelming. They feel as dry and as parched and as barren as anything we know. Which is why we relate to the psalm so well. Now David's expressions lead to something that is really important. David, in the midst of his wilderness, bothers to remember. He bothers to remember. God, in the midst of all of this wilderness, I remember seeing you in the sanctuary. I remember beholding your power and your glory. I remember those memories. I cherish those memories, and they sit with me. God, I bless your name. God, I bless your name. Now, what does it really mean to bless God's name, to praise Him in the wilderness? Notice that David never says, God, save me from the wilderness here. David never says, God, He just changed the circumstances. I praised Him, and all of a sudden, we're just all peaches and cream now. He doesn't say any of that. He doesn't say God provided a miracle and made this fount of water to spring forth in the midst of the desert. What does blessing God's name in the wilderness really mean? According to David, to praise and bless God in the wilderness is to reverence that God is here. To bless God's name is to reverence that He hasn't gone anywhere. David takes solace not in God's miracle, but in God's whispering presence in the middle of the wilderness. You know, I think about how we are celebrating Lent right now, and Lent is this season of setting aside, a season where we are giving things up, right? A season where we are intentionally trying to recreate some sort of wilderness time, right? But I'm willing to bet that many of you in here have already, or have been, or are experiencing Lent in your life, where everything has withered away, and the only thing that's left in the midst of your withered wilderness is a God who whispers, "You are my beloved. I'm here." That is what blessing God's name is all about in this psalm. I'm going to bless your name because you are here, God. I can't think of anything but you right now because I'm so thirsty. I can't think of anything but you. What I also think is fascinating is that once he blesses the name, David does not then think, well, I've blessed the name and now I'm blinded to all of that wilderness around me. He's not blinded to it. He's not blinded to anything around him. Rather, the praise and the lament, the joy and the pain, they come together and allow him to feel the presence of God right there by him. to satisfy him. You know, I think many times we wonder why or how people can praise God's name in the midst of hard things. And I think David might give us a little bit of a window in. David sits on his bed of dirt, meditating on God. He's awake through the watches of the night, meditating on what God has done and who God is, right here. Where God is, right here. David sits meditating, remembering, one, and experiencing, paying attention to the smallest of things. I really believe that the reason why people get through very hard things is because they pay attention to the smallest of things. They pay attention to the smallest drops of water in the midst of a barren wilderness. And this is hard. It's hard. It is hard for David to say, "I bless you, God, and I lay on my bed of dirt and I remember and I feel you right now." Right? It's hard. But it is satisfying. It is very satisfying. You know, I'm going to skip ahead a couple of slides because I want you to see. Will and Natalie, they look at their child. They look at Joel and they see that smile which doesn't abound, which abounds every day. And that smile, Will tell me, that's God. I hate the brokenness of our world, but I see that smile and it makes me pick up for another day. Right? That's Max coming from his dance party with a dog and plenty of his nurses, right? Little moments that in the midst of the most barren wilderness that we dare to courageously open our eyes to the very minuscule things that are happening around us. Perhaps it's the joy around us. Perhaps it's the smiles. There are many, many things. I really, truly believe that in the midst of any wilderness, I can find beauty. It is the reason why I stand up here as a hospital chaplain in a pediatric ICU. It is because I believe in the midst of every sadness and the midst of every wilderness, and no matter what your barrenness looks like, I can find beauty around somewhere. And I believe that because Jesus told us, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst." You like David. "For they shall be satisfied." I look and I say, there's beauty there to behold. In the most painful and barren of circumstances, we worship a God whose presence is as enduring as the wilderness itself. We feel often like the wilderness won't end, that it overwhelms us. And in reality, God's presence is just as enduring as that. God's presence whispers to us in a way that is stronger than even the wilderness can. We all find that small moment of ordinary, a small moment of joy somewhere around. I know Martha Hahn finds her moments in the hugs she gets here. Phil Rice finds his moment when he shares about Katie. I find my moment in the prayer of my son. Let's see if I can.
Okay, you ready to say the prayer tonight, honey? Can you say it with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not
into temptation, but of good and evil. Your kingdom come, your will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into temptation, for yours is the
kingdom
and the power
and the glory forever.
Amen. Oh, good job.
It brings tears to my eyes, but the reason it brings tears to my eyes is because of when Ryan said it. Right? I was having a really, really hard day, feeling my own wilderness, right? The wilderness that I've gone through in the last couple of years. And Ryan volunteered to say it that night, and I was not expecting it. And it was a little moment that told me, God's here. God's here. Your moment might be any number of things. It might be any number of things. Perhaps it's the word from your partner to you. Perhaps it's the memory that comes to you. Perhaps it's the worship at church. I don't know what your moments look like. But I firmly believe that in the midst of your wilderness, in the midst of your Lenten life, that God whispers in all of those moments in the ordinary, I am here, and I am not going anywhere. That wilderness is terrible, but I'm still with you. And we on the opposite end say, I will bless your name. I will acknowledge that you are here. And I will say, I want you. I long for you. I don't know that I feel you all the time, but I long for you. Right? The joy and the pain together. Right? That's blessing God's name. That is praising Him. I also think this leads us to take another step further. Yeah, I mentioned that Jesus told folks at the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be satisfied. In the middle of our Lent, in the middle of your Lenten lives, it is Jesus who invites us to recognize, I am here. I am here. I am here and I love you. It is Jesus who whispers to us, you are my beloved. No matter what you are going through, you are my beloved. And I love you very deeply. I think it is this invitation that connects the psalm in a very, very critical way to me. We come in the midst of the pain and the longing and the sorrow and the wilderness and any barrenness that we go through, trusting that God's love will satisfy us. It doesn't change the circumstances around us sometimes. It just doesn't. But boy, it is so satisfying When I look into Ryan's eyes, I see something that no wilderness could conquer. Right? I see God's love. I think we get to this, we get to the end of this scripture, and in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our wildernesses, we praise God and we realize we're still back at square one, just like David is. My soul clings to you. After all of this praising, my soul clings to you, God. His soul is still clinging. And oh, by the way, we didn't read the other scripture, the other verses of this psalm, but David, after all of this praise, says things like, I wish that my enemies would be dashed and all that stuff. And you're like, well, I guess he praises God, but he's still a normal person, right? This is David, our hero of faith, right? Finding satisfaction in the things that really matter. In God's presence. God's presence that abides with us. Today, our songs have reflected that very thing. A God who abides with us. Our communion leads to that very thing. A God who abides with us. And when we hunger and we thirst and we long, that our God says, I am here. I am here. See me. See me in all that you are going through. I think we have a moment of worship before we come to the table. Is that right? Or am I going straight to the table? I always forget these things. It's good to know that after a year and a half, it's still the same thing. We are going to partake in our communion. If the servers can get up. And I know you guys would love to go to the back, but I'm going to call you to the front. Our first task when we take communion is to remember. Remember, I beheld your glory and your power in the sanctuary. I remember. And I'm going to experience you, God. I'm going to remember that, and I'm going to experience that. That is what we do when we come to the table. We remember and we experience. We remember and we experience because life exists. All that wilderness exists. And we live it. So it requires that weekly we come and we remember God's power and glory and His presence in the sanctuary. Let us pray. God, we come before you knowing that when we remember and when we experience, what we experience is the invitation of Jesus who tells us we will be satisfied. And that our longing comes to rest in you. God, thank you for a son who was willing to go through his own wilderness and his own Lenten experience to see, to experience with us. And to show that his love is as enduring as anything we can imagine and anything that causes us to walk through the wilderness. Thank you for your son, Jesus, whose life is out for all of us to see and feel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name.